one and all. Test tube babies are natural borns, implanted and traced and tracked, which I think would be, include pretty much everybody, to the Vinnie Eastwood show. I bring terrible news, ladies and gentlemen. New Zealand has passed a law. Yes, that's right. Just like the two that they passed the day before that and every subsequent day since this new government got into power. Two laws a day. It's unbelievable. But this one. The Search and Surveillance Bill. It makes the Patriot Act look like a cute little puppy that you might want to carry around in your handbag, like you're some description of, heiress, perhaps. This is very bad news. 70 government agencies. Can anybody name 70 government agencies that now have the power to spy on you without a warrant for up to 3 days? Actually come in and search your place without a warrant. While you're not there, while they've got you in detention even, and your friends' places, and your family's places, they can come and search them all. This is unprecedented. Somebody's from, say, for example, let's name an obscure government agency, shall we, that will have the power to do this kind of thing. The Pork Board. People whose interest is pork are capable of coming in and seizing documents from you, wiping out competition perhaps, allowing the government the ability to now basically act as a criminal mafia to tax and destroy and or wind up owning everything. And guess who owns the government? The big major criminal bankster elite, whose front man is a man named John Key, who is currently the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who came straight from Wall Street. Literally. He was on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York for 2 years. Go to their website. They will tell you. That's what kind of man this guy is. Have a look at what has happened to the United States since the Fed was put into place. It has destroyed it many times over and accumulated its wealth into fewer and fewer hands. And now everybody in the entire world round is feeling the pinch. And all the authorities the world round are passing incredibly insane legislation in order to subdue any kind of resistance because they don't want a big fight up. That's why they're getting so overbearing. That's why they're getting so scary because they want to make people afraid and intimidate them so that they won't rise up and realize that there's hundreds of us to one of them. That's why they want to keep you isolated and alone, folks. Don't listen to it, because just like everything else the establishment tells you, it's one big freaking lie just made to make you afraid. Because when you're afraid, you stop thinking, and you start acting like a herd little animal, don't you? And herds are easy to corral and slaughter. Mm-mm. And they taste good, too. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Today, we have a very special guest, Henrik Palmgren from Red Ice Creations and Red Ice Radio Show host. Henrik, welcome to the program.
Excellent to be with you, Vinnie. Thank you.
Now, you're a being of some stature, as I hear it, and there's some New Zealand guys that I know have been into some interesting stuff, have been on your show, like about the, what was his name, Martin Dutre.
That's right. Yeah, Martin is great. I haven't talked with him in a long time. Have you? Have you had him on your program?
I haven't had him on my program yet. I mean, one time we had a conversation on the phone, just a chat, and we were on that phone for like about 2.5 hours. Should have recorded it.
There you go. Martin does great work. Love his stuff. Haven't heard from him in a while, though. But, there's some other, folks we have down in New Zealand as well. You know, people like, Tony Bushby, Greg Hallett, and then yourself, of course, but I don't know how many are actually voicing their concerns about how, society is being run down the drain down there, too, as it is here.
Yeah, and that's why they call it a new world order, Did you think there'd be a country that was exempt?
No, probably not, huh? I think it's different qualities to different areas around the world, it seems like. You had some interesting laws passed a while back about the, was it the food bill? You're not allowed to, grow your own food, right?
Well, it's not necessarily you're not allowed to grow your own food. It's just if you share it at all, an officer of Monsanto can come onto your property armed and immune from criminal prosecution to stop you from doing that because it's illegal. And it needs to have a whole lot. And it needs to have a whole lot of food testing practices to make sure that it's safe, you know, when you just pull it out of the ground.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, that's one flavor of how this is being implemented. And I think there are different flavors all around the world that are being, exuberated onto the population in different flavors, if you will. And we here in Sweden have, you know, suffered from the social and economic model for a long time now that has created a very detached population, in a sense, where the things that you urged people in New Zealand to speak up against is kind of long gone here, in a sense. People are already divided, unfortunately, up here, are very afraid to work together for anything. I'm trying to do my best from, this side up north in Europe to warn about this, of course. And at this point, it feels like I'm speaking more to the rest of the world than to Sweden itself, because it's very few people who are even, having the brain power and the energy to even look at these subject matters and much less, an interest in it. It's sad, but, we gotta truck on, right? What else are you going to do? We can't give up in all this madness, right, Vinny?
Yeah, people are seeking knowledge now, and this is something that I'm not sure I've ever been exposed to, just a growing social movement of people that have a thirst for knowledge, right? It's very strange. Has this ever happened before, I wonder?
I think it has, but I think the powers that are or trying to be, whatever, have a way of actually rewriting history as well. So whenever there is an uprising against them, then they quickly write that out of the history of annals, and we don't hear too much about them. I can bring up any characters in Swedish history that we never hear about in school, but yet they're there. They've marched on to towards Stockholm and protesting the tax, incredibly high taxes here back in the 1500s. But people never hear about that. So because that would, I think, give them a little more air under their wings, a little more fuel to actually keep going, and knowing the fact that there's been people beforehand who actually are against the unfoldment of the New World Order, which is a very old idea, a very old plan, of course. And but information specifically, though, that I think you might be right. I think the level of information that we have access to right now is definitely much, much, much different. But I don't know if we're any more courageous than they were in the past. It seems like they were prone to... Not that violence is any solution in all of this, but at least they had the the balls to stand up to some of this crap that we just seem to accept today.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, history works like this: you either wipe them out or you write them out. That's how you do your history books. You kill the people that are going to tell the story that you don't want told, or you simply tell the story yourself after the fact. And it seems to me now, and I'm just realizing it as they're saying it, because the New World Order is a very old idea, do you think that there's also a very old resistance as well?
Good question. Really, I like that question. There has been hints about this, that there is people within all walks of life, all kinds of, even within government, even within military and business, that are actually holding things back to a large extent. And the more I personally think about this, I tend to agree on some level. I understand things are moving very, very quickly down the drain, from my perspective. But at the same time, I always stop now and then and wonder why things haven't gone further down the drain, more quicker. They could certainly move, it seems like, more quicker if they wanted to. Just take internet censorship. How long has that been, talked about? And it's not happening. They want to bring it in. It's not here yet. We've heard about it for years. We've heard about major world wars for years, too. There's been people have been worrying about that since the second one ended, pretty much. And we're still not in a full-fledged, world war yet, which could be arguable from the position that we have some people here and there that are pulling the strings behind the scenes, trying to slow things down, ease things down a little bit. But if you would ask me for a who is it name-wise, if it's an organization, if it even is that organized, I couldn't tell you. But I'm surprised, some days anyway, that things haven't fallen apart more than they should have by now.
Well, there are, and I think the people who personify the kind of, you know, old resistance that we might be talking about might just be new incarnations. Like, for example, the new incarnation of the old resistance to the old New World Order, you know, that's been going on for thousands of years, is whistleblowers, right? And it's all the people from the inside that realize that something's going bad and they rush out to warn people. And I think that those people are always present, almost always, whether or not they actually do go ahead and speak up is another question.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a see, but now we're also in the realm of that this is a spiritual battle. There's something more going on here than just the everyday politics or the geopolitical, you know, news, you know, carousel that we can watch every day. It's almost like there's, well, maybe multiple teams, but definitely two teams struggling on this planet to for the control over humanity, in a sense. And of course, we as within the human species are involved in this as well. And it's certainly a possibility. I'm not one to rule any possibility out at all. I'm here to try to find out what really is going on, and I'm driven by, you know, curiosity to find some answers to some of these questions that are pervasive and just a basic drive to understand why. Why is things the way they are? Why, who is pulling the strings? And why is it that, you know, you can't do as you want to do, even if you're a good, you know, have good intentions, you're not ill of heart, you care for people. But yet, when you grow up, you know, you realize pretty quick that someone else is really pulling the strings. You have to go to school. Why? Says who? And you have to do certain things, fall in line, you know, go into this collective hive almost, in a sense, and you know, live accordingly. And for those, you know, people who are strong enough and courageous enough to kind of, you know, get their head out of the sand and question this and wonder why, they're shot down pretty quick, you know. But I tend to agree with you in one sense. There must be something else going on. There's something going on beyond the surface of things. I personally think that we have a force that are, I don't know, possibly people have argued interdimensional. They might be extraterrestrial. I mean, we don't have to go there to see the evidence that, you know, of how bad things are in the world, of course. But the more you scrape on the surface, the more you try to figure out and understand. I personally at least have come to that conclusion that I question, are all of these people at the top positions, are they truly just human beings, or are they something else? They definitely seem to be incarnate of something really wicked and something really evil. And the question is how we deal with them. How do we? Because if we put one guy away, they just another one rises to the surface. It could be a psychological battle. It could be something else going on beneath the surface there too. We have components of ourselves, you know, Vinny, that are actually in conflict with each other. And on one level, we actually choose to take one of these sides, if you will. It's like an epic battle in one sense. I try as much as I can personally to stay away from the polarization. Yet at the same time, I definitely see, you know, that it's there. So I think you're right.
Well, there's some people who are saying that there's no such thing as good and evil, right? And let that not sway you from thinking that evil people who actually do believe in evil, even if you don't, will try and kill you at some point, okay? My girlfriend's from South Africa, and they had some Satanists living near where they were. And every now and again, a child would go missing from the village, and they'd find it under a bridge having been sacrificed, and his blood drank out of it, okay? Now, that's a horrific thing, and to have it to be almost a common occurrence, you know, as it happened several times, is not something that the rest of the people would sit up and just go, you know, that's sweet as. They all are concerned about it, they're all afraid of it, but they didn't do anything to stop it.
Can you, that's interesting, yeah, so people are, they think there is, you know, if we talk about moral relativism, I've heard this as well, Vinny, that some people believe, you know, that they actually, there is no such thing as right and wrong. And I think from a philosophical perspective, you can examine this is a reality. You can see that, yeah, that might be the case from a philosophical point of view, but when you ask the human heart instead of the, you know, the brain or the psyche in that sense, I think you end up in a different realm. And I think that's why many people have argued that these people are, you know, psychopathic even in nature as well. There seems to be a disconnect between their emotional self and the rational self, or the, you know, the deeper psychological principles, and you have a disconnection there happening. And the question, of course, is: are they just simply operating as I don't know, animals, or you know, something else, something lesser, or are they truly, you know, possessed with something, a different force, a different energy? It certainly seems to you know, to me anyway, from my perspective, that something else is going on there. But at this point, I probably have more questions than answers, and I'm still trying to find what really is going on, because I can also see from the other point of view, Vinny, that there is an easy people jump to the on the bandwagon in a sense. They want to try really bad to explain all of this, really, you know, with good intentions, and they might end up in a fallacy in a sense that they brush everybody over the same comb, you know, and they say, oh, they're all Satanists, that's the way it is, and let's leave it at that. So it's easy, but there might be more to it than that.
There always is. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Henrik Palmgren from Red Ice Creations. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Broadcasting live from New Zealand, live from the future, live from this fabulous little underground bunker that we've had purpose-built for this project of engaging the portents, actions, and consequences of scumbaggery. Because scumbaggery seems to be going on all the time, everywhere, and as the song suggested, there's nowhere to run from it, you know? I've been meeting some people, and they tried to escape America, and they come to New Zealand, and they're like, oh, my God, the smart meters are coming in now. I'm starting to see chemtrails. I've got Agenda 21 breathing down the neck of the local government. Jeepers, creepers, how annoying is that? I wish there were more people around me that were resisting. I feel kind of alone here. I need to reach out. And reach out, we do. And, Henrik, we were talking over the break that you were kind of feeling a bit almost isolated in terms of truth movement activity in Sweden there.
Well, that's right. I mean, there are some people, there are some websites who are working, and they're pushing for, you know, 9/11 truth and all the rest. And that's great. I mean, let's do that. We certainly need that. But there's plenty of issues, you know, in this country pertaining to the country itself that really needs to be highlighted for people here to wake up. And many people say, you know, that the New World Order is coming. They're kind of hanging around with the, you know, with the bullhorn ready in hand and try to, you know, go out on the streets once the troops are going to march in. But I've always argued that here you're not going to see any New World Order marching in, because they are already here. It's already established. Everything is in place. People are controlled and conformed. And I'm wondering at this point, what is, if anything, is going to break up the control grid that already exists here. But of course, it's getting worse by the day, as you mentioned before as well. We also have the smart meters going in. But this idea that people only look to America to try to see that this is something isolated, you know, to the USA, is just not looking hard enough. And I think, all different parts of the world have different you know, flavors of this, basically, you know, going in and moving in. And what I'm trying to do as best as I can is, you know, from this perspective, in some of the work I do anyway, to highlight what's happening here. And I think we need more people like that who maybe, instead of focusing all their own attention on things like 9/11, that things are really are pertinent to America. Okay, understandably, we have had effects of this all over the world, but it's almost like this is still the kind of the the movie version of reality. It's kind of cool in a sense to only like question those aspects of what has happened geopolitically in the world when there's so much garbage going on in every individual country. And if more people began to wake up to those things in the country and focus on that first, criticize that first, we can move on to the world stage, of course, a little bit later in this. So that would be kind of my point of critique in that sense, and the fact that the New World Order is really in place in some parts of the world already, to one degree or another.
Well, has any place been completely solidified into it within total control at the moment?
Good question. Depends on how you define total control. If you're talking about a physical control, I don't think so. But if you're talking about a mental control, a psychological hold that a control structure has over you, for instance, like in Sweden, I would say yes. I think it's here already. I think it's right here. I think we're living in a dystopian corporate state up here, while on the world stage it's being promoted as this great, UN, haven where people are happy. And this is, of course, being spoken by people who have never been to the country, never visited it, and furthermore, never lived here or even tried to operate a business here. People are incredibly controlled up, in the mind here already anyway. And the fact that this is almost the hardest type of, tyranny to break in a sense, because there's a literal Stockholm syndrome going on here. There's a reason why that term started in that bank robbery in Stockholm back in the 70s, where the captors, were kind of developed sympathy for those who were robbing the bank, in a sense. And it's kind of the same thing here. It's like people are, I don't know, it's almost like they love their servitude, because at least that's evident, because they're not saying anything about it or speaking up against it. But the problem, I guess, is that most people don't even realize that they are captive, in a sense. They think they're free. They think they have everything that's, good and dandy in the world. But again, I guess it's the old saying, right? If you don't know, if you haven't experienced something different, you don't know what you're missing, in a sense, and that would be applicable here. And I think the problem with that is that because people are inherently they're not asking questions. They're not out traveling, maybe seeing different parts of the world, realizing how it is in other countries, and therefore actually, learn and see some differences and see, okay, this is how you guys do it over here and how we do it there. Because it's very locked down. And I think all of this goes back to the idea of why it's getting more and more difficult to fly. And here, I guess, it's the 9/11 tie-in, in a sense that you are in a position where you no longer can travel with ease. I mean, you feel like a criminal every time you try to get on a plane, right? And you're guilty until proven innocent when you walk through those, if it's body scanners or whatever they use. They use some other technique here in Europe now, some kind of other frequency. I don't know. I don't trust it anyway. I don't want to go through that. But there we are. It really, you're feeling like you're a sheep when you walk through there, and you're realizing you're traveling from one playpen over to the next. And when you're up in the air or in international waters, you really get the gist of who owns the stuff, in a sense. So that's why I think we have less people, going out, seeing the world, seeing things from a different point of view, and people are going to be locked down more and more in the future. It's going to be more difficult to do this. Again, we're kind of back to that dystopian future movie, in a sense. We have these sectors of the world community where you're kind of locked inside, and there'll be like terrorism everywhere, and there'll be, walls around these sectors with armed guards. Who knows how far it can go? I hope it doesn't happen. I'm working against all of this. But they, from their point of view, they certainly will see this implemented, tomorrow. But again, it's not happening as quick as they probably will or wish, though. So I guess there's some positive in all of this as well. I guess I wouldn't say we're winning, but hopefully more and more people are waking up to it, and we could say no.
We're delaying them, right? I think that's basically what we're doing. We're the little ants that are trying to all bite the big, nasty, warthog at the same time and bring that beast down. This is what's happening. I think, is people are waking up on an individual basis, usually after some kind of trauma. They'll get arrested, or they'll get screwed over by a bank manager, or they'll have their business confiscated by the mafia, or something like that. Something happens to people before they wake up and start getting active about things, generally. Did something like that happen to you, by chance?
No trauma, not as far as I know. Anyway, this I think it was just an inquisitive nature from early childhood in one sense. Just kind of like I said before, it's like a drive to try to understand why certain things are the way they are. And to my big surprise, amazement, while looking around and trying to ask some other people, some friends, when you're younger, haven't you ever wondered why, why you have to do certain things or why things are the way they are? And it's like, no. So you understand, in one sense, you're a little different. You have an inquisitiveness and a questioning nature. And I think that's just been the primary fuel for me anyway. But then the trauma, actually, in that sense, that comes along a little bit later when you're beginning to realize what kind of world you're living in, who possibly might be controlling it, why they're doing it. I mean, that's traumatic in itself. I think everyone who's woken up in one sense have had that secondary trauma. If it was the first trauma who unlocked them, so to speak, the first time, they've definitely been whacked overhead that the second time. And then, as I've talked on our program before, it's like you have multiple levels of this as well. I don't think there is an ultimate awakening that happens, and then that's it. I think you're growing all the time. You're learning. You're seeing things from a new perspective, and the picture, hopefully, kind of expands all the time. And I think if you're new into it, it's almost like then you think you have all the answers. But the more you learn, at least personally, the more humble I get about all these topics and things. And I realize how little I actually know, and how much speculation there is, and how you can always find contradictory information to anything. So that's kind of one of the engines, I think. I personally always like to find that piece of evidence or information that speaks to the opposite, because I think it's a danger when people end up in a rigid mindset. They think they know 100% what's going on, and they've already made up their mind, and it's almost kind of like an unwillingness to move on from there. I think the most important we can do, in one sense, as human beings, is to constantly try to evolve, in a sense, learn more, get better, understand more. So that's kind of my drive, I guess, and it's not a drive that was instigated by a trauma per se. No.
I think we kind of have to admit that we don't know anything, or admit that we know how much we don't know, because
that's right.
It's like there's an infinite amount of knowledge and facts and figures and goodness knows what out there, to the point in which you have to know that the person who thinks he knows everything probably knows nothing, and the person who doesn't think he knows anything probably knows enough to get by, because that's about the size of it, isn't it? Because these moral, what was it called? Moral relevancy and all of this sort of crapola, right, designed to just tell people there's no line, and therefore nobody bothers worrying when they cross that line. So people have decided of their own volition, right, through a number of influences, of course, to no longer care about the consequences of their actions, to no longer actually want to know at all, en masse, about really anything that goes on. You know, if people even truly understood a tenth or a 100th of what they do in their daily life. For example, I don't know how a microphone works, but I'm using one. You know, I couldn't build one if I wanted to. And all of these other things. All the things that we're doing in our everyday life, we don't understand what they are, where they came from, or how to do them. We didn't realize that the apple with a bite taken out of it has a symbolic gesture that is derived from Bible, Bible stories. You know, think about it for a second. We don't know. There's this layer of informational sort of disconnect. It's like you are holding something without being able to see your hands. That's how loose our grip on reality has become.
That's right. The question is, though, if it have been any different at any point in history, Vinny. I mean, there is a cognitive dissonance happening, I think, inherently in people when they, get exposed to certain kind of information. But that line, I think, that you're talking about, I think it's absolutely there. was speaking about moral relativism. But what that line is, I think, is going to be different to every individual. If we zoom out for a moment and, for instance, ask what truth is from a philosophical point of view, that is going to be very difficult to pin down. But there's a tendency of thinking in terms of absolute terms. What all of this, all these things mean individually are going to be different. That's just the way it is. People are going to be thinking different. They're going to have a different set of morals. And whether this has been, you know, programmed by religion or another kind of culture, someone else that sees this from another point of view is going to say, no, that's wrong. To me, that is absolute wrong. It doesn't matter if this moral, okayed, whatever it is in, you know, the Bible, or if it's in the Quran or you know, the Torah, whatever. This is going to be problematic for those kinds of people. And I think when we try to instigate the one truth, this oneness idea again of a monotheocratic order, a one world order in that sense, over everybody, this is when the real problem begins. I think if people could meet each other on an idea that they respect the individual, they respect the idea that they have different opinions about, you know, this or that, but still don't have to have this weird awkwardness quirk that they have to convince everybody else that they are right in their position all the time. If that was the case, I think it would be kind of a better world in a sense. And I think that's what we're suffering under when it comes to the controlling elite that are trying to instigate their control over us. They're trying to make us into something, well, first of all, that they are, or that they can easy manage. But it harkens back to this idea of the oneness again. Everything is going to be mono. Everybody's equal. Everybody thinks the same, looks the same, feels the same. And I loathe it. I can't stand it, what's going on right now on the planet in that sense, because there's so many wonderful, you know, people and cultures and everything. Yet the world culture that we're given is totally eroding all of that away. And it's just turning into this kind of sludge knownness. And and the world culture is gossip and movie stars. You know, as Michio Kaku said, who is like a mouthpiece in some cases for the elite in certain cases, he said, the world culture is, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Madonna, whatever Lindsay Lohan is doing, blue jeans and white t-shirts. You know, it's like, that's the uniform and the world monoculture of the future. And I can't stand it. I loathe it.
I think you loathe it because it's collectivist in nature. It's the presumption that everybody's basically the same and has little value. When the reality is we're all different and we all have value. And that's exactly what we should recognize as being the most important aspect of your life. That's why you call it your life, because it's yours. Nobody else's. It's yours. All you got to do is reach out and grab it. We'll be right back. Live from the future, jamming in real time on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Welcome back, everybody. My very special guest, Henrik Palmgren. Is that how you... In fact, is there like some kind of native sort of extra pronunciational sort of version of that name?
Well, I could say it in Swedish, Henrik Palmgren. Does that sound weird to you?
Henrik Prior.
Well, there you go. Yeah, okay, so I guess there is that. Yes, there is. From this day on, I'll say, yes, there is, and I'll say that.
Yeah. Henrik Palmgren.
There you go. That's pretty close, you know, good enough.
Okay. It could take some practice, you know. Doing languages is a thing I like to do. But speaking of languages... The girl with the dragon tattoo, we had a question in from one of our loyal fans and listeners who's sometimes comes up with half-baked questions that consist of a single line. but you've apparently got some interest and some disinterest in this particular topic. So,
well,
I know nothing about it.
Well, this is a worldwide success. I mean, the girl with the dragon tattoo, oh, it's the latest thing. Everybody you know, around the whole world now is looking at this. And as a Swedish version of the film came out, what is that now, a couple of years ago? And then now there's a very strange American/Swedified, Swedishified version that came out in English, of course. And they're even, it's funny, it's American and British actors in it. There's a couple of Swedes, I think, but... And they kind of have an accent in English, in Swedish, but they're speaking in English. Very strange. But in any regard, first of all, I have no idea why this book and film has gotten so much attention. In my view, it's garbage. It's written by a Fabian socialist called Stig Larsson, who actually is very keen to destroy things that are Swedish. I mean, he's so left, he would fall off the carousel here in political terms. In Sweden, and he's been very prone to, in that sense, express his anti-Swedish sentiments, and basically anybody who has an interest in, you know, all things and national is basically a Nazi in his view or something like that, and hence he focuses so much on the neo-Nazis in this country, and this is of course that's gaining attention on the world stage, which is just amazing to me when we have this country being destroyed by lefty liberals, and people are looking, you know, under the bed for neo-Nazis. You know, if they were even close to having some kind of power or something in this country, I could understand it. But you have neo-Nazis in every country. There's always going to be those idiots. They're still clinging to, you know, 60-year-old ideas that are proven not to work. And it's the same thing should be said about the regular international socialists out there as well. Those like Stig Larsson, for instance, who are actively trying to destroy this country and the reputation about it by putting out that garbage. There was an expose of him in I think it was one of the scientific the economic papers that in America a while back. We linked it up on our website. It was pretty interesting reading a little bit about his, you know, background. And then of course this is speculation. He might have been killed actually, or he was just suffering from some kind of weird medical thing and he died. And what happens is when somebody dies, it's like they're immediately raised to the level of being some kind of you know, saint or kind of like, you know, some of the politicians like you know, Kennedy, even in one sense, you know, people raise him to some kind of, he must be some kind of supernatural being just because he got whacked early in the process, in a sense. I don't make the comparison with Stig Larsson. I don't see that at all. I don't know why this has gotten so much attention. Yes, Sweden is a very dark society, but that is not because of the neo-Nazi groups or here like there are in every country, but it's because of the political mainstream that is running this country down the toilet, you know. And I think everybody that haven't been here before would probably be pretty shocked by the culture that they you know, they would see up here when it comes to the conformity and some of the gulags. You know, we have echoes of Soviet Union here. The oppression is not physical in that sense. It's more spiritual or mental. Of, you know, again, as I talked about before, control of the mind in a sense. But it's very conformity and collectivism is the rule of law in a sense here, and also something that's known as the Jante law, which basically is it's a long list of 10, you know, unwritten commandments almost in a sense. But it's like what an unwritten law that kind of Scandinavians adhere to. And it basically states, if you think you're anybody out of the norm, you know, we're going to, you know, you're going to be taken down pretty much. You do not think you're special. Do not take yourselves outside of the rest of us, in a sense. It's kind of, it has some echoes of some very restrictive Asian countries, in a sense. And it's a bit bizarre. But I urge everyone who likes those books and stuff to come up to Sweden, live here for, I don't know, a year or something like that, work or try to start a business, and then we can talk. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. That's pretty harsh, man.
Well, that is stupid.
Yeah.
Wake up, you know? It's, yeah.
Have you ever get to that point where you're, like, starting to want to scream and yell and fly off the handle, you know, just to relieve some of the pressure that builds up?
Well, I think we all do. I think it's healthy in one extent to do that. Otherwise, we're Otherwise people will go Breivik, as we would say from now on then, in one sense. And I'm actually surprised that more of that hasn't happened. This is one point I've been arguing before as well, that it's amazing to me how much people are willing to, you know, to take up the bleep, you know, basically, because, and it's amazing that more people haven't, you know, just exploded with internal anger in one sense before, especially when society and government is so suppressive that they are. I mean, it has been argued, and I think it's rightly so, that the governments with the rules and with the regulations are also creating a certain level of terrorism. They say on the surface that, oh, we got to fight against this and all that, but at the same level, with the more rules they put in, the more laws they put in place, the more they, you know, grope you at the airport, the more pissed off people will get, and eventually they will paint us into a corner, like a cornered animal, and something is going to budge, something is going to give. You can't keep the lid on for such a long time and have the pressure build up and then don't expect anything to happen as a consequence of that. And I suspect, in one sense, much to my dismay, of course, because this will be, again, used as an incentive by the government to instigate even more control. But anyhow, I feel that more and more of this kind of stuff actually is going to happen. More people will lash out, both against government, against other people, because I think inherently everybody wants to be a free human being. They want to be able to do what they want to do with their life. And the more that this is being, you know, closed in on, the more pissed off people are going to get. So in one sense, I hate to see it, you know, go that way. But at the same time, it's got to. Something has to give.
But when something does give, you know, very little benefit comes from just lashing out in anger.
Exactly. That's the negative side of all this. That's why it is important to find a constructive, outletting of this energy that's built up. And that's partially why I do that I do. It doesn't mean necessarily that, of course, I'm some kind of psycho. If I didn't do this radio program and the website, I'll go bonkers, you know, in that sense. But there is the more you realize, I mean, think about it. I think all people who are into these kinds of topics feel that to one extent or another. If they wouldn't be able to, you know, talk about this or you know, vent in some way, that would be, you'd go cuckoo eventually in one sense. You have to try to, you know, relay this information to other people and say, look at this, you know, so just see how crazy this is, and how more they're encroaching into our freedom and everything else. And
it's like,
don't see it. Yeah, go ahead, Vinny.
It's like sharing the load kind of thing. Like, this is too much information just for me. I need to tell other people about it, you know, so it's not just on me.
That's right. That's the human, if you want to call it that, that's the human animal in a sense. We're just hardwired, it seems like, to be that. There's some, you know, those are kind of hermits out there, I guess, who don't need all that. But the most of us do on some level. They do want to share what they learn. They want to teach other people. And I think they do it out of the goodness of their hearts as well. They want to show, you know, because they care. They want to demonstrate. And of course, many people believe that they're right too. They know what's going on, and they want to share that with other people. So that's a good thing. But it's necessary to make something constructive out of it. And I think whatever way that might be, some people play music, some people have other creative arts that they, you know, express this in. Some people write articles, have started websites, do radio shows or films about it. And I think, again, the more people do that, the better it is. The more just spreading the word, because just as you say, Vinny, I think this temporary lashing out, although I've been being like a lifesaver occasionally, you know, you punch a sand, you know, whatever you have at home, in a boxing bag or something. But beyond that, it doesn't really solve anything, doesn't fix anything. So if we're you know, serious about this stuff, we make something out of it. And that's why I hope to see more and more people to actually do that, instead of just maybe all the time listening to information and gathering, start maybe doing something about it too.
I think it's because we care that we tell other people, because we hope that once we tell those other people that they'll care too, and we don't want to be the only ones around that actually care.
Well, that's true, exactly. And in many cases, I feel that's very unfortunate in one sense. But whether we like it or not, right now we are living in a so-called civil society. Well, we're living in a society, and it's based on wheelings and dealings with other people, and therefore we have to deal with them and deal with it.
Yeah, deal with other people and just roll with it, I say. Henrik, I'm not going to try the pronunciation again, it's too hard. Okay, right. Henrik Palmgren is Bumgren is my guest, and we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You can join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. Back in a minute.
Women and children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded stations in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant, early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestack airwaves. Bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Show. It is now hour number two, and we still have our very special Red Ice Creations maestro on the line here. How long has Red Ice Creations been around for?
The website has been going since 2003 under a different name at that time. Well, still Red Ice, but a different URL, I guess. And then we moved ahead and started our radio program back in 2006. So it's been going for quite a while, being, I guess, in internet terms anyway. So that's exciting. It's going up and up all the time. We learn new things, and more people are coming aboard. So it's been great, actually. It's a lot of fun. One of the best things I've ever done in my life.
And it's not like a up-to-the-minute kind of news program all the time, is it? Because you're just bringing new information, and that basically qualifies as news.
Well, exactly. I mean, we make the news. We decide what's newsworthy in one sense because we're the, you know, editors of the website and the program. But yeah, no, it's right. We're not covering the daily, you know, the daily rag or whatever you call it, the paper, you know, whatever's in the news per se. Now and then we might, but we try to focus a little bit more on the. There's so many. If I put it this way, there's so many great programs out there that do that as well. They cover the latest stuff, the latest, you know, unfoldment of basically micro, you know, analyzing the tyranny that is unfolding around them. What we try to do is go maybe in some cases a little bit further, deeper, and look at some of the other stuff that's out there as well. There's some amazing information out there pertaining to, you know, the amazing reality that we're involved in, everybody. Anything from ancient civilizations to planetary catastrophe, the root of, you know, where the human being actually is coming from, where are we coming from, why we are here, what are we doing here, what's the goal, where are we heading, you know, like the bigger questions that makes you, you know, think a little bit more, hopefully, as well. And then along the way in that, of course, you do end up monitoring certain developments that are so-called news, you know, more news-oriented. But the bigger, you know, questions, it's a desire, again, to try to, you know, put an exclamation, you know, mark instead of a question mark behind everything all the time. But as I said before, you end up learning, quite a bit, but you end up kind of having more questions almost than answers at the end, which is great. We're getting there, but we're so lost. I mean, the human species as a whole, we have no idea what we're doing here. We have no idea where we're coming from. And yet people are so brainwashed and so closed off in their own little reality bubble that they think they have all the answers and think they know what's going on. And it's really arrogant in my view. We should be more humble over the amazing structure of the weirdness of everything that's unfolding around us, being just for the simple fact that we're on a planet spinning, you know, out in space, and we have no idea what's going on.
I think it's because they know that as soon as you start questioning, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, that could be right. It's a danger, I believe, in maybe trying to understand the roots of the human being, because with that, the rest of the control structure falls apart. We have a scientific, maybe, outlook, in some cases religious. It doesn't really matter. I think it's all control at the end of the day, that we crawled out of the sludge, or God made us. You know, it's a very simple viewpoint, but I think that the picture has much more to say about us than that, and there's far much more going on if you begin to look at our surroundings, and even the structure of our own solar system has like close to magical ratios going on to it. It seems like it's almost constructed. It doesn't mean they have to be constructed for us, maybe, or you know, the fact that we're the best in the solar system in that sense. But the fact is, something else is going on here. Something more is trying to communicate with us, I feel, in one sense. But human beings are so caught up in the smaller details that we're kind of missing the larger pieces here, in a sense. So that's what we're trying to do, in a sense, on the program. We're trying to just bring attention and highlight to the things that are forgotten, in a sense. Those things that are not talked about so much, but yet are there, you know. And if this is, you know, things like the pyramids, or you know, these giant stones down in you know, Lebanon, or whatever it is, things that are evidence of something spectacular that we today can't explain. We have fantastic megalithic sites up here in Sweden. I was visiting one the other day. I know you have them down in New Zealand as well, as we began talking about. Martin Dutre has done some great, you know, work on that as well. So you guys have them down there too. We have them all over the world, and they just stand there kind of taunting us, and we have still no idea what they're for, who were using them, or why they built them. And it's amazing. People should think about it.
People don't know what they don't know. And that's as simple as there is to it. And when you look at mainstream news, mainstream medicine, and mainstream this, that, or the other, regardless of what it is, the bulk of people will not understand a thing about it. All right? I was thinking, you know, what about doing a Vox Populi? You know, actually walking down the street, ask people, how does the banking system work? How do we get our money? There'd be very few people who can answer that question accurately. And how many people die in the medical sector? Could they answer that question? Is people's basic understanding of what governs their lives and what reality actually is, is their understanding actually adequate to vote, to think, to live? They almost have abdicated all of those gifts in favor of simply living one day to the next and have somebody else plan their future for them.
I think that's where we're heading, Vinny, in the future. I think that eventually they are going to be able to prove, in a sense, to us that we are not capable of mending for our own lives, basically, and we're going to be, you know, what do you call that anyway? Basically, this is when the government moves over into a parental kind of relationship with you, and they basically take things over, right? And your other point is right as well. I think we have more information now than ever at our disposal, but yet I believe personally, this is what I notice from talking to people. I'm not meaning talking to people like yourselves or the kind of people that we, you know, have on the program or those who listen to it, but just generally, you know, I think people are more misinformed now than ever before in history. Education-wise, we're learning, you know, less, and the quality of what we're learning is going down the drain. It's you know, nothing, and compared to what actually is out there. And eventually, you know, we're forfeiting our right to mend for ourselves and take care of us. We have to wake up. We have to take responsibility. We have to take back control. I personally consider that those who are trying to control us, they have forfeited the right to decide over us what to do. That happened a long time ago. People should just do what they want to do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, but don't ask anybody about it. Just do it. Don't ask anybody or your authority or government or what have you. Just do what you want to do. That's what they do. They don't ask you, can we put up another surveillance camera here then? Yeah, is that okay? That doesn't happen. They just go ahead and do it. So what's our response? It's just going ahead and doing what we want to do. And people have to stand up to that, that potentially might mean that you're getting, you know, in trouble for something. Well, so what? What's the option here? What's the other side of the story? Either we have a tyrannical system that's going to enforce its will upon us and we do nothing about it, or we do what we know is right. We do what we believe is the right thing in our hearts. So in that sense, if you're in New Zealand, begin to grow food and hand it to everybody you know, just for the sake of protesting these stupid rules that they put in all the time. Because it's lunacy. It's insane. And if people don't see it, then, oh my God, then we're far gone. And eventually we'll be a 100% parental system that are going to decide and mend for us because we haven't acted upon the responsibility quick enough. And in a sense, the elite's actions will be justified at that point. So we gotta, you know, prevent that from happening. That's what I believe.
That's trying to get to the point of the immovable object and the, the unstoppable force, right? We're going to find out what's going to happen. And I think we're going to find out pretty soon, don't you think?
Well, I hope so. Something, as I said before, something's got to give. There's a number of things that could happen here. But for all we know, the whole society could just crumble tomorrow. And what are you going to do then when you put all your trust and faith in a government that you know, can't even, you know, address themselves in that sense? I mean, what I'm talking about here is things like solar activity, solar flares that knock out the whole grid. EMPs, things like that. It's in the ancient record. It's in the past of humanity, and through mythology and other things, they've been trying to speak to us about these kinds of events. We have, the majority have not been listening, of course, but there are people who are and who have. And of course, when this is going to happen, nobody knows. But we seem to have cyclical disasters happening on this planet, and there are people who've been speculating that the governments know this, and therefore this is the reason why they've built so many underground bunkers. They have so many of their own kind of survival bunkers out there and things to mend and to be able to, you know, live past this point of potential coming catastrophe. But we're so fragile and vulnerable, and most of us don't even know that. So, I mean, that's a possibility that could happen, or we could have something else happening tomorrow too. We could have another world war. I mean, people are just crazy when it comes to ramping up the situation in between Israel and Iran. And people are so hungry. Some people are so hungry for this to unfold. All the Zionists out there, they just want to see another war being unfolded. And it's insanity. And this could go bad really quick if we don't watch ourselves, you know. But it's tricky. It's really tricky. I think we should, and that's why it's important, Vinny. This is my point here. It's important to try to do what you can on your own level first to be able to, and in one sense, take care of yourself. We have to obviously work together to do things, to fix things. But for all we know, the whole technology aspects that we're using now could just go down the toilet tomorrow, and we'll be knocked back into the Stone Age. Because just as you said about the microphone, how many people know how to build a computer, even a toaster? There's been studies on this. People who are trying to build a toaster from scratch, it's hilarious what the outcome was and how sloppy it was. And it was like totally not functioning at all. And this is like from going into grabbing the raw resources, in a sense, in terms of the plastic, the raw components that eventually is being turned into plastic, and the minerals that they're creating, the microchip and stuff like that. But most of us, we don't know this stuff. We could be taken back, you know, 1,000 years tomorrow. And what then? What would we do then?
Well, we'd have to go feral. Everybody'd have to start going all agrarian all of a sudden, you know. It'll be the new craze.
Yeah. That's right. And it's kind of, and it's kind of happening, I guess, in one sense already. People are feeling this, and maybe that's why there are so many agencies out there that are speaking against people who are, in that sense, working towards creating this independence, in a sense that I'm talking about. They're, you know, cracking down on people who are growing their own food, specifically when it's, you know, organic and everything else. People who are trying, in one sense, to just take care of their own stuff and men for themselves. This is where we see so much pressure, in a sense, in America, but also, you know, as you said, in your country. And but people have to just do what they believe is right, stand up to this stuff, and just continue doing it, because it's no measure of just because it's a law, it doesn't mean that it's the right thing. That's the basic thing. And even Christians should adopt this, considering what you know Jesus talked about the fact that the law is something written on the heart, meaning it's not something in stone that is dead and cold in that sense. This is something that's alive. It's changing all the time, and it doesn't matter what is on paper. It has to be something that you are in agreement with, you in accordance with. You feel it in yourself, and you follow those rules and follow that law. It's morals. It's not a dead code, as it were, of a country or a you know state.
Yeah, which is why the only law that I advocate is a law banning any more legislation.
Well, there you go.
You know, cut off the head of the snake. Every time they pass a law, it gets worse. So you know, the political process has been co-opted in every sense of the word, in every country, mainstream media, whatever. Even if we came up with some kind of a candidate who would kind of, like a Ron Paul, for example. Ron Paul can't win. You know why he can't win? Because he gets slandered. He gets cut out of the debates. He gets interrupted when he's answering questions. All of this kind of thing. You're fighting an uphill battle. And as anybody knows, in the example of Hamburger Hill, you don't want to fight up battle, going uphill, you know?
Yep, that's true. But this is what governments are doing, that they're creating more and more laws. When you mentioned the laws, I was thinking about what's going on in Europe with their Eurolex, as it's called. I don't know the exact number of pages. I read it a while back, but I think it's somewhere around 17,000 pages of law. And we're talking about things like, how crooked can a cucumber be? What type of angle should a banana be to be, you know, legally defined as being a banana? This is insane people who are doing insane things, and they're writing it down on paper like some kind of it's indescribable. I don't know what goes on in the head of some of these people or how they can work with it, but it's moving along. And agriculture is a big control in there. That was one of the first thing that the European Union started meddling in and getting involved in, is to how do the Europeans grow their food? And that's a big giveaway. That's a key why they do that.
Yeah, because if you rob people of their food supply, you make them dependent on you for their food supply. And just like in the Ukraine, the Russians seized all their food, and what was it, like 7 million people plus starved to death. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. About shining bright all around the world in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Oh, yeah. And Henrik, I kind of wanted to get into this topic a little earlier about just how much fun it is actually just being a radio show host and how many cool people you get to talk to.
Well, that's true. I personally never actually had an aspiration to become a radio host per se. It was actually just kind of like an accident for me anyway. I was asked to be, well, I was running the website actually at the time, and I was asked to be a correspondent, if you will, from the view of it was, I had a friend over in America, Chris Morris. He was having his own program at the time on another network, and I was asked to kind of come on that show and be a little correspondent, basically. But at the time, I was handed a show by the guys who had the network there, and eventually I dropped off there and just decided, well, wait a minute, we can do this ourselves. We can just run it from the website on demand instead of actually going out live and all that stuff. But you're right, obviously. It's amazing to be able to speak to a lot of the great minds of people who have done tremendous research or you know, in one sense, you know, heroes, if you can call it that, and some other people that you know, you'd never expected to talk with or talk to. And I think just a reflection again of the potential connectivity that is, you know, happening around the planet right now, because we have so many you know, networks of these different groups connecting, and it's just wonderful to, in that sense, be part of that. And try to spread the word, spread the good news and the bad news. It all comes there and it all goes, you know. Great.
Well, humans work best when they're brought together. The internet has brought us together, and it is now allowing us to do all that stuff that we couldn't do before, that we were separate.
That's right, and it's certain things anyway. That's I guess the problem in one sense is that. The best thing to add to this is a new technology, I think, and that would be teleportation, right? That would be the ultimate thing now, so we can actually, you know, meet up and you know, shake hands, because that's still a really powerful way of doing things, of course. But in terms of the global, you know, network, if you will, in that sense, the global brain almost that we're building up, the connectivity that's happening between different node points on the planet, that's amazing to watch and just amazing to be part of that, you know, revolution. I was thinking, by the way, the other day, someone who was born in, you know, maybe late 1800s, let's say, and then died in the, I don't know, 1950s or 60s or even 70s, how much they would, you know, how much they've seen in a lifetime. And the fact that I was also hoping for the fact that I hope that we, you know, people like you and me and who are listening and maybe who are, you know, a little bit younger in that sense, that we also will get to experience some of the greatest, you know, advancements as well that happened during that time. Of course, we saw a lot of world wars. There's been a lot of, you know, mayhem and carnage, but hopefully we, as a human race, have moved away from that and can actually just focus on the constructive things. But, I mean, this is exciting stuff, like, you know, free energy or things like that. What if that actually truly comes online during our lifetime? If something that revolutionary in that sense that would empower the individual probably more than anything else, that would change the whole world, in the sense that the internet has changed the world of communications and information sharing. So what I'm hoping for, and what possibly could be the you know, a turning point in all this, not that I put my faith in technology all the time, but these things would certainly be helpful. You know, teleportation, instant communication, energy that is basically, which is abundant out there. I mean, it's, the whole universe is you know, exploding with energy all the time. Stars are abundant. It's just so much energy out there. Yet we're sitting on this planet right now in some kind of, you know, fear huddle mode and think that the energy is running out or something like that. You know, which is it's really disconnected. But in any regard, energy is there. Let's go. Let's grab it. And hopefully, you know, we could see some of this stuff really happening. Otherwise, we're you know, we're going to go backwards. I don't see that happening. I think we're going to progress, you know.
Well, perhaps if Anonymous were to hack into the patent office, for example, and release online all of the free energy devices that they've conveniently kept under wraps all these years, might level the playing field a bit. And also on that teleportation idea, I had two ideas for this earlier on in my life. One was a teleport doormat, right? You've got your friggin' doormat on the front of your porch or whatever, or inside your house or whatever. okay? Somebody has their own doormat. They want to come to your house. They step on their doormat, you teleport to the other one. But just like every door, you have to actually knock, right? So you get a buzz at the door, and then you get to decide whether or not you get to accept that person, just like whether or not you open the door.
Well, there you go. Kind of like Monsters, Inc., right? That kind of the environment behind the door changes wherever wherever your intention puts. But you're true. I mean, it's why not? We should be able to do stuff like this if the nature of reality truly is holographic or primarily holographic. If we have a consciousness factor here, which is, you know, prominent, which seems to be the case if we look at some of the newer sciences out there, then it's all basically energy, and they're already, you know, teleporting light particles, I think it is. So why not?
And the second idea that I had was an Android phone that was also a teleportation device. Like, if I was on the phone to you, bro, and I wanted to just give you a little hug or something, I'd actually just reach through and a little energy field or whatever, and I'd actually reach through your phone and have an arm around you and give you a hug.
Oh, can you imagine the nightmares with a system like that? Oh, you have to have one of those, kind of, you permit them through or not, right? Otherwise, it's...
Well, I think that the phone sex 0900 numbers would be very, very increasing service, applications for that. You know, you could download an app.
Well, see, now you're raising a good point, because you're raising the other side of the argument, things that we try to highlight, on the show and stuff like that, too, that we have with something new, extraordinary, there's always going to be a dark side to it, if you will, a potential, danger. That's the same excuse that governments are putting out right now when it comes to the excuse to censor the internet. They point out, you know, child pornography, or now when this guy in Toulouse there, who are doing the shootings. Strange story, but nonetheless, Sarkozy is willing to jump on this right away to try to get people to go behind the idea of banning so-called extremist websites out there. Right? This is how they're operating. This is how they're working. This, but with all new technology that are great in terms of the potential of showing human potential, you're going to get a negative side to it. You're going to get a dark side. And this is just the reality of it. Doesn't mean we don't have to try to stop it or work against it, but it's always going to be there, I think. It's like we can't take away that part of ourselves, our shadow self, as some people call it, and still have the cookie and still kind of, eat it at the same time. This is just the way it is, and that's fine. With some good things, there'll come some bad things. But we have to work with what we have, and there's no excuse to censor the whole internet or in essence limit the freedom of speech that we do have on it just because there is a couple of rotten eggs there. And this is actually one of the points of criticism that I have of society at large, and largely so Sweden as well, because the most of society seems to be run on and maybe this is like a Freudian slip or something, but it is criminal law, meaning that it's actually, it's based on the criminals in society. For instance, if something happens when it comes to people who can't drink and drive, for instance, at the same time, we here in Sweden, we can't even take one drink and go out on the road. I know that there's some other countries out there too, but that means basically you can't go out and have a dinner in a restaurant and have a beer with that or a glass of wine and then drive home, because there's a few idiots out there that actually didn't manage to control this. So whole of society is now expected to, and something happened, of course, they ran in the ditch, they run somebody over, what have you, and now the whole society and everybody else is expected to suffer because we have someone who can't control their liquor. And this is true in so many other cases as well, that we set the standard according to the criminal and we adjust to them. So if there's a bank robbery, we all should suffer because there is a moron out there who don't have morals and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was called natural selection, you know?
Well, exactly. There you go.
I mean, if you're stupid enough to get really, really drunk and go out and whatever, you know, boom, you're not going to be around for too much longer to cause hassle to everybody.
Exactly, but that's not the point. See, the point here now is to take care of those people, to pad them up in a security vest and then have them run loose in society, in a sense, and cause more havoc. And I'm not advocating to just, like, you know, totally you know, put these people down or whatever. Not at all. That's not what I'm saying either. I'm just saying that from the point of view of just observing society, observing human nature and behavior, it's interesting that we have chosen this path, that we are now, in one sense, so afraid of the criminals that we let them control us. We're so afraid of something going wrong within society that we're willing then, in that sense, to give up our freedom for the fact of having this external faulty control or security over something. And this is how the globalist forces are enforcing their agenda upon us, of course. This has been the justification through so much that happened after 9/11. The whole society is expected to reform just because a couple of thousand people were killed. And not that that's not bad or anything like that, but I'm just saying, as you pointed out earlier, Vinny, how many so-called, okay deaths that there are from properly prescribed medication in the world every single year. It's just astronomical compared to that. More people are likely prone to be struck by lightning than to actually be involved in some kind of, terrorist action. Yet, whole of society is expected to reform under these things, which is just totally, this is the basic point I'm trying to get to here. We're going in the totally opposite position, opposite way that we're supposed to do. I think the way to deal with this stuff is to confront it head on, not scour in fear of it, but just try to work against that. And I personally have always believed that if we have people who are truly awake and who are aware, who are intelligent, who are choosing to do business with people who have a strong sense of morals, people who are in that sense on the same page as they are, I think the few rotten eggs would be weeded out pretty quick. But see, that's not what's happening right now. We have a situation where the rotten eggs are managed to hide behind legalese and they can murk in the papers of the legal text, in a sense, and they're protected by it almost, in a sense, instead of having people who are truly just open-minded, they're awake, they're kindly and friendly, but they're aware, they're smart, intelligent, and they know that, okay, this person is no good, so I'm not gonna deal with them, I'm not gonna make business with them, and this would automatically, in a sense, take care of itself. These people would slowly be weeded out because we would know that this person is psychopathic. Don't do business with them in that sense. But now we have a system where we're supposed to be controlled, or let this control be handled by a government, by an authority, or by an agency, and everything. So we don't have a hands-on touch with the experience of actually being in true life anymore. It's kind of what I just said before. Every corner is padded. Everything we do is safe and protected and taken care of. And there's actually it's a disservice in that towards ourselves, because we're not exposed to real reality. We actually don't get an opportunity to grow or to learn from those experiences. So this parental government system that's like growing up all over the world right now, and I see it prominently, taking place in Sweden, more so ahead of the curve than many other countries, is not any good at all. It's leading us down the drain, and people shouldn't be allowed to, be scared to go along with this, basically.
Yeah, it reminds me of something Bill Cooper said about socialism, is it's basically like living with daddy. Daddy may let you use the car and you might get some allowance money and you might have a roof over your head and you've got food in the kitchen, whatever. But you have to do what daddy says. If daddy says that you can't drive the car over to the next town to go to a party, you can't. If daddy says take out the garbage, you have to.
And isn't this the way it is already? The bank owns the car, maybe. The bank owns the house. Or the mortgage, whatever. People are in a kind of a lease relationship to their stuff anymore. They don't have maybe private property. Everything is like rented all the time, in a sense. They actually don't own it. The bank does through loans. And so from my point of view, we're already there. It's just a very small step until the fact that they actually are in control of everything. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a society where you have to, you have credits instead of your currency, and then eventually you have to petition, to get anything at all. The governments own everything. It's a big, huge corporate monopoly in that sense, and you have to apply to get a reason to get a car. Otherwise, it's the public transportation that goes, and this is just, I don't know.
Yeah. it's going to be a real, it's going to be a blooming prison, you know. And I don't want to be a prisoner. I don't want to be a slave. It scares the hell out of me. And I don't feel like I have any other choice but to do something about it, and do something about it now, because if the thing that I fear comes to pass, it'll be a lot worse if I haven't done anything at all. We'll be right back.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
We're back live on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the fabulously AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And it is fabulously American. And I was thinking the other day just how cool America and the actual idea of it and all of this stuff. And the landscape and the diversity of the people and the history and the Constitution and the freedom and the liberty and all of that good stuff. And you're like, hold on a second, it's all gone now. You know, everything that was once great has got gradually eroded away and covered up, basically. Had a big tarp thrown over it, as it were. And it's starting to happen with all of our countries, really, isn't it? It's a shame. Now, Henrik, we've got the last question that we normally give out on the show about self-censorship. You know, we all self-censor. So if there's anything that you would like to say sometimes that perhaps doesn't come up in a conversation, or it might be thought of as a bit risque or controversial, or you might bite your tongue about it for fear of judgment or whatever, then this is the place to say those kind of things. So if you have anything, go for your life, mate.
We are in the confession booth, huh? Officially.
Well, I'd say we're in the confession booth, allegedly.
No, actually not. I don't. As far as I know, I don't do it. I'm pretty outspoken when it comes to where I want to go, where I'd like to go. At this point, I would say it would be more of a situation where maybe we haven't covered everything yet that we want to cover on our radio program. Things are advancing all the time. We're learning new things. And as I said before, I'm most interested in balancing the picture, balancing what people think is the case or the norm or whatever is going on. And in a sense, this has now obviously developed into its own kind of dogma, almost in a sense, within the so-called truth or alternative movement as well. And to challenge those ideas is good, to challenge any kind of conception or misconception that we have is a healthy thing. And I think the reason, you know, why we do the program we do in a certain way is because I want to also try to stay out of the picture as much as possible. I want to try to, you know, we put focus on the topic, on the guests that they come there to listen to that, not to me blabbering. And that's why people might have the conception that, or the idea that the perception that, you know, I'm not as outspoken as I, you know, maybe should be, or that I hold back in that sense. But no, I wouldn't say that's actually not the case. We do, you know, commentaries and stuff on the website. We write articles about things, and whatever question I have, I always try to let the information lead me where it may, and wherever that is, that's where I'm willing to go. And it's just a matter of time at this point of not having been able to cover everything. One thing I'm really interested in right now is to balance up the picture of the First and the Second World War, for instance. We are having this incredible one-sided issue of how evil Germany were, both during the First and the Second World War, without examining the other side of the story, without asking why. How did this happen? What is the other side of this story? There must be a reason for this. We can't just have, you know, Hitler coming to power overnight, basically, in the 30s in Germany, with all these, you know, seemingly crazy ideas and just a lunatic, and there we go. You know, it's like there's a lot of stuff happening there that is not allowed to be talked or touched upon. The Balfour Declaration. What was the deal between, you know, the Rothschilds and the Zionist organization, the World Zionist Organization in Basel at the time in Switzerland, and why did they manipulate Germany in the way they did? There's a lot of unanswered question there, and these are seemingly, for some people, not for me, but for some people, that's taboo. You know, you're not meant to question certain things politically, but I don't care about that. I just want to know what if there is any truth to some of these claims, and just try to find the other side of the story. And I think I personally have gotten kind of used to that, because the original history, for instance, here in Sweden has been suppressed for such a long time. We never hear, well, we barely hear about the Vikings, but even the Vikings were actually a Christianized force that was, in one sense, used by the powers that be at the time to wage war on our, you know, Celtic and Druidic brothers over in England and Scotland. But before that, there was a different era of a history that's been vastly suppressed, and this has been connected with all kinds of junk and garbage about being racist and neo-Nazi and what have you else, and that's just not true, and it's just garbage, and I'm just sick and tired of hearing that stuff. I'm going to look into it and try to see what is there, if anything, and then just it'll be what it'll be. That's my take on that, Vinny.
It will be what it will be. Yeah, it's classic and simple, isn't it? And I think the main underlying principle of it all is you just assume that everything you know is wrong and just wait for the evidence to prove it. You know, it's like I think of this journey that we're going through here with these. I mean, I'm just talking about in this profession of being a radio show host, right? With all these interesting people that you can interview and all the knowledge that you can have. It's likened to walking through a forest with every kind of fruit or vegetable, tree or whatever imaginable, right? It's like going into the Willy Wonka chocolate factory, being able to literally eat everything you can see. And knowing that your stomach's only this large, you start to go for what you like, right? And interestingly enough, you can either go a huge amount into one thing that you really like, you know, you want to start drinking from the chocolate river or whatever, or you like to sample a little tiny bit of everything. And I'm acting under the assumption that you like the variety, am I right?
Well, of course, but it's if you find something you like, of course you want to have a little more of that, right? There's nothing wrong with that either. I think it's just a willingness of a realization that there are more, to use the analogy, and more flavors out there. And as most people don't, I think they stick to something that this is my favorite, but then they actually are not, you know, aware enough to know that there's other stuff out there that they could try, which might actually even be better for them, according to, you know, their taste or whatever. So you have to try as many different things as possible to understand or know what you like, right? So that's kind of the quirk of the whole situation. It's amazing to me. I think Jordan Maxwell mentioned that the first time. It's amazing that people actually, they pay money, let's say, to hear the same things, in a sense, over and over, or things that they already like, things that, you know, enforces their own belief, for instance. This is like a confirmation bias, in a sense, that you only maybe consume information that supports your point of view or your worldview, which is like, it's a mistake in my view. You have to look at the other side of the argument. You have to examine that to see if you're right or not. But that's very difficult for many people to do because they are tied emotionally to many of these subject matters. And I think that's the trick as well. Sometimes you have to set your emotion to the side. Although it's good to have that with you, you know, feeling your intuition, feeling, you know, just how it, you know, the information, you know, sits with you basically. But sometimes you need to just sweep that to the side and look at the other side of the argument. And this, it's because of this you'll learn, I think, and you'll grow, and you'll manage to become, I think, wiser in the process. You can also even maybe then at that point debate better for your cause of why you believe that you are right and so forth. So trying different flavors, trying different things. That's the most important thing there is. I mean, my God, again, we're out spinning in space. We don't know what the hell's going on. Why do you want to limit yourself to a small little, you know, whatever, when there is so much out there, so much happening? The human experience is already very limited. And what the government imposes on us is even smaller and tinier in terms of the bandwidth that we're given, this little tiny box of expression, you know, of tools that we have. So break out, try new things. Absolutely.
Yeah. And reach out and meet new people too, because you'll be surprised, really, once you get people out of their conditioning, once you get them alone or something like that, they become completely different people, especially when they think that they're not getting judged. And they will reveal things to you that they wouldn't reveal to other people, okay? And it's strange to me how some truthers might actually withdraw from other people to a large extent because they feel that they will be judged or they will be in a position where they don't want to be. And I'm thinking that reaching out to other people at all times is very, very necessary, because we're all going through this this great divide together, interestingly enough. And I wanted to thank you, mate, for coming on the show today. It's been a real honor and a pleasure, and you've actually kind of enlightened me somewhat.
Well, that's good. That's excellent. Thank you for inviting me, Vinny. It's been really interesting. Always fun to connect with people, and it's great. You're, what, halfway around the world? We're about 12 hours apart, and but still it's working great. We can have a conversation despite, you know, potential cultural differences, where as one can see when we're, you know, involved in the same type of information and what have you, people can fall into on the same page pretty easy. It's just amazing when you think about it, and even if there are disagreements, as you mentioned before, just to have a respectful relationship to each other, that's how difficult is that, you know? It should be easy, right?
Yep, you'd figure being respectful and nice and generous and all of that kind of stuff should be easy. Some people don't think so. And those kind of people are the ones who tell you who you can and can't be friends with. And I'll tell you, once those people start telling you who you can and can't associate with, that's the signal that you can and should not associate with those people anymore, because they're just trying to limit your experience. And thank you very much. RedIceCreations.com is Henrik's website. Thanks very much again, mate. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And please support the broadcast. Go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.